Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You might remember, if you are of a certain age as me, the ads on the television when they would do the network broadcast testing and they would say, "This is a test. This is only a test. If this were a real emergency," some of you remember those, right? Yes. Tests are part of our lives, as our young gentleman just reminded us, and sometimes they are innocuous. They are just, you know, kind of preparatory things. Other times, they're dire, or in his words, they're horrible. They come to us sometimes in medical tests, and we wait weeks for the results that mean literally life or death. Or they come to us in temptations throughout our lives, whether it be temptations to overeat or overdrink or overspend. And those sorts of temptations and tests are just part of being human, aren't they? Jesus prays in the garden with the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." And we pray that every week, and we do that dance, some would call it a battle, between accepting tests for what they are and trying to avoid them. My remembrance of testing is like our young gentleman's here. A lot of test anxiety. They're horrible. I have, as an executive director of Seafarers International House, we have a guest house, and I need to be certified by the City of New York every 3 years to be a fire safety director, which means I have to take lots of tests, both written and on site. And I start sweating these things about a week beforehand, and I can barely sleep, and I'm just very, on edge. And yet, when those tests are over and the results are in, whether they're good news or bad news, there's sometimes a blessing, an awareness of where you stand and who you are, and just clarifying what this situation is. So tests can be, I guess, considered both and horrible and also an opportunity to clarify who we are and where we stand. As the saying goes, opportunity may only knock once, but temptation and testing seems to lean on the doorbell. It's constant, isn't it, in our lives? And I don't know about you, but I receive some consolation and some hope in the fact of today's scripture reading, where we see Jesus going through the very human process that we all go through day in and day out, where temptation and testing is leaning on that doorbell constantly, asking us what we know, if what we know is enough, if what we want to achieve, we can pass those tests. Jesus is led into the wilderness to encounter the devil's temptations in today's scripture. And the devil isn't easy on Jesus, not an easy test. In fact, it's a three-parter. First, it's a material test where Jesus is asked to turn this stone into bread. Secondly, it's a spiritual test where the devil is wanting Jesus to throw himself down so that the angels will catch him. And thirdly and lastly, it's a civil test where the devil is offering all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus. But of course, there is a price to pay. And that is that Jesus needs to worship the devil. To that, Jesus says, "Be gone." Or as Martin Luther said, Jesus says to the devil, "Boo!" I love that. Martin Luther could have a little sense of humor sometimes. Boo! Wouldn't that be great if we had to go take a test to see if we had, you know, liver cancer or melanoma, and we could just say to the technician, "Boo!" We can, because Jesus enters into our lives and reminds us that though hordes of devils fill the land, as Martin Luther said, in our mighty fortress, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Why? Because Jesus went through it first and has gone and continues to go through all of our tests and trials with us. Our tests and our everyday trials are difficult and horrible. We don't have to go very far to see, even now, with the coronavirus, the testing that is going on in our entire world. And it's difficult, and it can sometimes feel overwhelming, and it can sometimes feel hopeless. But we say boo to some of that. I asked before the service if you have hand sanitizer in your pews, and you do. Now, that's not going to get rid of all the threat of coronavirus, but it's going to help. And that's how Jesus works in our lives. Jesus reminds us day in and day out that whatever the world tests us with, whatever the world throws at us, one word will subdue that. And that is, "Be gone, Satan." Boo! That one word is to say in the face of all of our tests and trials, Jesus. Jesus with us, around us, underneath us, above us, within us. Jesus with us, Emmanuel, each and every minute of our life. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. That's the answer to the test. And the answer is Jesus. Jesus is that powerful, that imminent, that clear in the way that we address our tests. Now, while we usually talk about this passage of Jesus being tempted in the desert from the context of Jesus overcoming temptation, there is another meaning to be gleaned, I believe. And that's what I mentioned to our young man over here. What if the time Jesus spent in the wilderness wasn't so much about the devil as it was about Jesus? What if it's not so much about the devil's empty promises? Because, I mean, you know, that's just kind of fake news with the devil, right? What if it's more about Jesus and who he is? You see, while the devil's temptations presented roadblocks for Jesus, they were also bridges for Jesus. Because with each decision, Jesus was claiming his identity, the content of his character. He was claiming his DNA as a son, as a child of God. And he walks out of that wilderness. Jesus decides that materialism, power, prestige, fulfillment of his own wants or needs is not what Jesus is about. He was about God's ways. And as we know, God's ways are not our ways. So all of this could be seen as a roadblock for Jesus or a bridge to claiming who he really is and was. A couple of years ago, I felt like the devil was all around me and everything was a test. I have two parents, like most of us do, and both of them were failing dramatically. And both of them live 2,500 miles away. And we had great support from my family and from my siblings, but I thought that I was not going to pass this particular test. They needed so much. They needed so much medical care, emotional care, financial care. They needed me. And I was busy. I had a lot of things in my call that kept me busy. But somehow, I just prayed over and over and over, Jesus, lead me through this. And not only did Jesus lead me through it, but Jesus clarified who I was in the midst of that test, in the midst of those temptations and struggles. Jesus revealed to me many things, namely how much I love my parents because I was able to do things I didn't think I was going to be capable of doing because of my love for them. Jesus also revealed to me just how strong I am, how many trips I can make back to the Midwest, and how many ways I could assist my parents in ways I didn't know before. It clarified, and it became more of a bridge than a barrier, than a roadblock. And I invite you to think about how that works in your life, your trials and temptations, your difficulties and challenges. Do they become roadblocks in your faith? Or do they become bridges to a greater awareness of how God works in your life? Sometimes you can't see it right at the time. In fact, it's almost like you're blinded by the challenges. But think back. With the gift of time and the gift of processing to some of your trials and tribulations and testings in your life, were they roadblocks? Or were they bridges? Maybe they were a little bit of both. Were they ways that helped clarify who you are and whose you are? We do that sort of bridge building every day at Seafarers International House, where we call on ships and welcome seafarers from all over the world. And we endure all the tests and trials that go along with those seafarers. Sometimes there's massive outbreaks of illness on the ship, or they've gone through a terrible storm at sea, or maybe they've encountered some pirates, and we're with them in the midst of their challenges and trials And we remind them that Jesus is with them too as a bridge. We do that every day too as we welcome people who have been released from detention centers, asylum seekers, and they stay with us in our guest house. And we struggle along with them as they meet one test and trial after another. They first need to get their designation, their status as an asylee, which means they have to prove that they will be persecuted if they return to their home countries. And then we help them each step of the way as bridges to get their work permit and then their social security number so that they can contribute to our society. And then we help them find an apartment and we help them find a job. Those are all bridges to pass the tests that we have. Who are we? Are we people that look at tests as horrible? Or are we people who look at tests as clarifying devices to remind us of who we are and whose we are? And the good news for this day and every day is that in the wilderness of temptation and despair, Jesus has gone through it. Jesus knows what we're going through. Jesus loves us through our trials. And Jesus will bridge us to that eternal hope. Amen.